Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories: how upscale restaurants are making it manageable for parents to bring little kids, and the push to get pharmaceutical firms to reveal the cost of their drugs. Those stories after this.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Upscale establishments have long tried to accommodate requests for crayons and a kids' menu. Now some are getting more creative to keep youngsters occupied. Tours, babysitting, specialty classes, movies, and unique play spaces are popping up, even in deluxe dining rooms. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Alina Dizek. Alina, what's trending?
Well, some restaurants are really going beyond the crayons to make sure that the kids are having fun when they're dining out, in order to entice the kids to come back, basically. So there's everything from scavenger hunts to a babysitting deal with a local child care provider that restaurants offer.
Is this a growing trend?
I think restaurant child care is definitely a growing trend for some of the more upscale restaurants that really want to kind of go above and beyond what they're providing already.
Has the perception of taking your kids to an upscale restaurant changed over the years?
Well, millennials are having children and they're increasingly dining out with their children. So that's becoming more prevalent, but was similar with other generations, according to some market research. But yeah, it's definitely becoming more important to take your children to a restaurant these days.
From a business perspective, keeping the children happy means more money, right?
Definitely. If you can get on the good side of the kids, the parents are willing to stay, have an extra cocktail, order an extra appetizer, and the kids are engaged.
We're speaking with Alina Dizek, Wall Street Journal reporter. Her story is called Fancy Restaurants Offer Fancy Babysitting to Attract Fancy Families. Bringing your child to a restaurant is probably cheaper than a babysitter as well.
Definitely, bringing your child to the restaurant, I have children, is definitely easier on some days and more difficult on others.
Take us through some of the things these restaurants are doing.
Yeah, one of the restaurants I spoke with recently partnered with a child care center down the street to give parents a way to drop off their kids and then go dine at the steakhouse. Another restaurant is making a big deal about the turtles that they have in the pond, and allowing the kids to go play with the turtles and feed the turtles during the meal to give them a diversion of sorts. So restaurants are really being creative with the type of resources that they have on hand with how to entertain the children.
Aren't some restaurants being more creative with the kids' menu?
That's right. They're also being more creative with the menus. Some restaurants also offer mocktails and kind of, you know, a way to make the kids feel grown up with the food that they're eating.
Thanks, Alina. Wall Street Journal reporter Alina Dizek. More after this. Lately, I've been telling business owners and CEOs all about the alternative board, also known as TAB. To be a successful business owner or CEO, it's a plus to have access to resources and expertise that TAB offers. Seriously, you need to look into becoming a TAB member today. For close to 30 years, the alternative board has helped owners and CEOs of privately held businesses through their advisory boards. The TAB boards are made up of local, non-competing business leaders who meet once a month to discuss sales, marketing, hiring, and how to manage their teams and more. Plus, you get expert one-on-one business coaching for your company's specific needs. Take my advice and check out the alternative board today. To start, find out if there's a TAB board seat available in your area. It's quick and there's nothing to lose. Just go to my special website, thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. Don't wait. That's thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. The Trump administration's Health and Human Services Secretary has announced that the agency will require pharmaceutical companies to reveal the cost of their drugs in TV advertising. The rule, which could go into effect as early as this summer, ideally will drive down costs by empowering consumers to compare prices. Analysis from Seth Denson, president and co-founder of GDP Advisors, an employee benefits and risk management company. Seth, how do you see it?
Well, I've been tracking this. Secretary Azar has been talking about this for quite some time and actually came out earlier this year saying this was going to be a priority and something he was going to push for. And so when the White House actually came out and said, we're going to do this thing, I was really excited. This is a good first step.
All right. So the transparency, as it would seem, with drug prices being announced in TV ads, could we as consumers trust that information?
Well, herein lies some of the challenge, and the devil's always in the details, right? So the complexity by which drugs are bought and sold in the United States is immense. And what I mean by that is the drug marketplace actually works a lot like the stock market does or the commodities market. It fluctuates daily based on what's called the AWP, or average wholesale price. And so herein lies the challenge of a drug manufacturer posting a price online, because what Secretary Azar wants them to do, and the Trump administration wants them to do, is have to list their AWP. But that changes almost on a daily basis. So there is some details that are going to need to be ironed out. The other thing that consumers need to be aware of, likely what is going to be posted, if it's the AWP, is not what the consumer will pay, at least not directly, because the consumer is going to pay whatever their insurance co-payment or co-insurance level is at the end of the day, and that formulary varies based on which insurance company you're using. Here's the indirect way that the consumer is paying for it, though, and why I'm glad that this is a ruling or a rule that's going to be implemented. The consumer is always paying the price of the drug, whether that is through a copayment or whether that is through insurance premiums at the end of the day. Eventually, the consumer is paying for it. Most consumers don't know what the true costs of drugs are. They only know what their copayment is. Yeah. And if we want to start to reduce the cost of healthcare in the United States, the consumer needs to understand the entirety of the cost.
Generally speaking, I know that the pharmaceutical companies do not like this proposal. Is that because they're trying to hide something, or because it actually is complicated based on the way you explained it before?
It's a little bit of both, but I would say that the primary thing that the pharmaceutical industry doesn't like about this is the latter. It's the amount in which it's going to be disclosed on what the cost of these drugs are. Now, understand, though, that in the distribution market of this, it's not just the pharmaceutical company that hates this. There's a lot of stakeholders, or proverbial hands in the cookie jar of prescription drugs, if you will. And the main one is what's called the Pharmacy Benefit Manager, the PBM, of which most PBMs are owned by insurance companies. You want to talk about a conflict of interest. And they really don't want this out there, because PBMs make their money, i.e. the insurance companies make money, based on the spread. What I mean by that is the insurance company via the PBM will buy the drug at a price, mark it up, and then resell it to the end consumer through the formulary structure. And that's how insurance companies owning PBMs make a lot of money. And so this just is going to allow the consumer to start to see behind the curtain of all those hands that are in that cookie jar. So there's a lot of people that do not want this to happen.
We're speaking with Seth Denson, president and co-founder of GDP Advisors, and we're talking about President Trump's announced plan to require drug prices in TV ads. There are certain requirements here, right? That would be a drug that's minimum $35 a month?
That's right. Minimum $35 a month, but again, that's yet to be clarified. Is that $35 a month wholesale price, or is that $35 a month average copayment? So these are some of the details that are going to need to kind of come out, and what does this really mean? It's also drugs that are only sold by Medicare and Medicaid, but that's virtually every drug. I mean, there's not many drugs that aren't sold on the Medicare or Medicaid system. There are details that are need to come out on this, but it's a good first step in the direction that we need to go to infuse transparency.
Thanks, Seth. Seth Denson, president and co-founder of GDP Advisors. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.